Hello everyone, Merry Christmas and welcome to episode 21 of It's Funny Now, Stories You're Glad Didn't Happen to You. My name is Frank Trainer. I'm the creator and producer of the show where people tell stories that maybe were embarrassing, cringy, terrifying, shameful, disgusting, even sad sometimes when they happened, but with the help of time we can say, It's Funny Now. Our show is recorded live at The Crow in Santa Monica, California. That's the new comedy club for elevated comedy in Los Angeles. It happens every second Tuesday of the month, and on this podcast you will hear the best stories to come out of that stage. Today we have a very special double episode as a Christmas gift for you all, with Vicky Yuditz with her story, The Last Humans on Earth.
A voice over the intercom demands, right now, at the customer service desk, get valuable coupons, 2-for-1 tuna fish. Tuna? My kid says their eyes wide. Now see, I've told my kid that a can of tuna fish is so contaminated with mercury one might as well eat a thermometer. And my kid says, Mom, why would anyone eat a thermometer? And I say, I don't know. Sweetheart, I just don't know.
And Jonathan Tipton Myers with his story, My Star Trek Kiss.
The amount of girls that I had sitting on my bed in front of me, giving massages to, right, who had shirts off, like forever, like 4 or 5 hours. Like there must be in the hundreds, and they just, I know I couldn't see their face, but I know that they had this expression. It was like, just take it off, just take the bra off, and nothing. I had no game whatsoever.
Jonathan is a native New Yorker and self-proclaimed pizza rat. He has performed on stages of all sizes in New York City and screens of all sizes for ABC, NBC, Fox, Lifetime. His solo show Weird Traffic and Uber Adventure was featured on KPCC and hailed by The Scotsman, The Guardian and The Times of London at last year's Edinburgh Fringe Festival. The point of his existence is to remind us all that we are all connected. But first, we have Vicky, who has performed at theaters and festivals across the country, including the National Storytelling Festival in Tennessee, and her story Dancing at Joe's aired on the Moth Radio Hour, and she just performed at the Moth Grand Slam in Los Angeles. Other stories of hers can be heard on the Risk podcast and KRCW's Unfictional Archive, and on our very own podcast in episode 16. So now, without further ado, here's Vicky with her story, The Last Humans on Earth.
I'm trying to keep my balance on a brand new two-wheeler with 21 speeds. I do not need 21 speeds. I just need the one speed. But the man at the bike store told me that's how they make them now. Yet another example of progress. No, it's true. I have not been on a bike in over 30 years, and I am riding to the grocery store. Up ahead, my kid, who's 8 at this time, pumps the pedals of their bright pink bicycle. They stop at the corner. They look both ways. They say, okay, Mom, looking to me for reassurance, trusting I can warn them of any hidden dangers. Okay, honey, I say, together we cross the street. I smell pine. There's a slight breeze. It's a beautiful day in Burbank, California. Right now, for just this moment, I'll let myself believe we're saving the world by conserving fuel, by reducing our carbon footprints. I'll enjoy the ride. Whee! Here we go, whizzing through the supermarket parking lot, past the Lincoln Navigators, the Chevy Suburbans, the Hummers, whose murderous exhaust pipes spew CO2 that threatens to destroy us all. The lonely, empty bike rack beckons, endearing in its sad simplicity. We lock up the bikes and enter the store. I clutch my cloth shopping bag to my chest like a shield as a blast of frigid air from the massive air conditioning system assaults us. Muzak blares. Labels from thousands upon thousands of products trucked in, flown in from around the world. Scream, buy me, choose me, take me home. Not a single label mentions the energy consumed and toxic waste generated by the manufacture of so much as a single disposable plastic spoon. But a voice over the intercom demands, right now, at the customer service desk, get valuable coupons, 2-for-1 tuna fish. Tuna? My kid says their eyes wide. Now, see, I've told my kid that a can of tuna fish is so contaminated with mercury, one might as well eat a thermometer. And my, no, it's true, too. And my kid says, Mom, why would anyone eat a thermometer? And I say, I don't know. Sweetheart, I just don't know. I take a deep breath and I slowly exhale the same invisible CO2 that coal-burning power plants pump out by the ton, the same gas that may alter this planet beyond recognition. I have to calm down. I have to shop. I need apples for my kids' school lunches. Organic apples, the conventional ones are covered with pesticides one can't wash off. The apples must be locally grown to save on jet and truck fuel, and they cannot be packaged in that innocuous-looking transparent plastic film that thrown in a landfill will poison groundwater for all eternity. My kid selects 5 organic apples from the nearby town of Oxnard and puts them in my cloth bag. Not a whole keck of a lot is going to fit in that bice basket, so I am just going to buy the apples and a package of 100% recycled toilet paper with 85% post-consumer content in a recycled paper wrapper and an extra large box of baking soda, which I will use to brush my teeth and clean my bathrooms. Shopping requires optimism. Blind faith that my choices make a difference. I'm thirsty, Mom, my kid says. We get a drink at the fountain. Even though I know that the clear liquid splashing in that metal bowl retains untold quantities of antibiotics, antidepressants, and anti-cholesterol medication. But at least it beats the water in a plastic bottle. A bottle made of polyethylene terephthalate that leaches endocrine disruptors, which are wreaking havoc with our ability to reproduce as a species. I personally can no longer reproduce anyway, but I worry about my kid. I worry all the time about their future. Coffee! I desperately, desperately crave a cup of coffee from the deli. I have forgotten to bring along my metal thermos, and I refuse to use a styrofoam cup that will outlive mankind. If they would let me, I would put my mouth under the spigot of the coffee urn, and I would just drink the stuff straight down, and I would not ask if the coffee were organic or fair trade. That is how much I want a cup of coffee, because coffee soothes me. The muddy liquid allays the panic I feel, knowing the glaciers are melting, the Amazon is burning, the Gulf Stream is slowing, oceans are spawning, murders, hurricanes, and human beings are breeding unchecked. And people, you know, people in the United States, people in California, people in Los Angeles, the people in this market, including me, are responsible for having brought every living thing on the face of the planet to the brink of annihilation. I look around me, and no one seems concerned. Because they cannot imagine their world being any different from what they've always known. I can. I can imagine a sky so black with soot and ash from forest fires raging out of control that day is night. I can imagine a dreadful silence after all the birds have become extinct. I can imagine my kid lying in a tent in a refugee camp perched on the remains of the 10 freeway, clinging to life, their body ravaged by some horrific virus carried by swarms of insects multiplying furiously in an overheated planet. If I allow myself to dwell on these images, I am not going to be able to shop. I'm trying to buy the apples and the toilet paper and the baking soda, and my kid nudges me, and she points to a woman with a cloth bag in the checkout lane next to ours. That woman is having the same trouble I am. She is trying to convince the checker she doesn't want a plastic or a paper bag. I approach her. She looks up and smiles. I'm a pleasant surprise. Idle chit-chat is unnecessary because we both have the cloth bags, and so we know that we both receive action alerts from the Natural Resources Defense Council. We belong to the Sierra Club. We compost. It goes without saying we've given up meat, milk, fish, lipstick, nail polish. My kid and I follow that woman outside, and there are 3 bikes in that rack. And we mount our bikes, and we ride away into the beautiful autumn day.
And now, here's Jonathan Tipton Myers with his story, My Star Trek Kiss.
Okay, so I was gonna tell a story that I hadn't finished writing, and then I thought about the embarrassing setups we have, and it reminded me of the fact that when I was in high school, I had absolutely no game whatsoever. The amount of girls that I had sitting on my bed in front of me, giving massages to, right, who had shirts off, like forever, like 4 or 5 hours. Like there must be in the hundreds, and they just, I know I couldn't see their face, but I know that they had this expression. It was like, just take it off, just take the bra off, and nothing. I had no game whatsoever, as it led to the fact that I didn't have my first kiss till I was a junior in high school, and I was on a date with a sophomore, and she asked me out, and I think her name was Natalie, and this was in New York City, and I was a big film buff in New York City. Actually, that 1 year, I had gone to 325 movies, and I wrote them all down in this like little notebook. So I knew all the movie theaters in Manhattan. I knew what the seats did in every theater in Manhattan. And if folks haven't been in New York in like the 80s, 70s, and 80s, they know different movie theaters had seats that like some slid down, right? And it was like 3 sections. It was like, oh, this is awesome. Some of them didn't do anything. Some of them like basically had a fast recliner, and some of them like rocked, like back and forth, like for no particular reason, but it was something that she did, so it was something special, right? So we were on a date. I asked her out to go see this movie, very excited to see the movie Nighthawks. Yeah. Anybody know the movie Nighthawks? Yeah, it's a movie about a, you know the movie Nighthawks? It's a movie about a terrorist with Sylvester Stallone and Rutger Hauer. Yeah, thank you. And he's, right? I'm thinking this has got to be like a great date movie, right? Of course, you're thinking. So we go to Cinema 2, which is on 60th and 2nd Avenue, and we're sitting in the theater, right? And I still haven't had a first kiss. And we're sitting in the theater with this girl, and I'm trying to find a moment in the movie where something's not exploding, like where this quiet moment where we can get in there and kind of, you know, connect. And it's just, I can't find anything. And then I finally determined that I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to go for it, right? So we're sitting in these chairs, and I look over at her, and I kind of get up enough courage, and I lean in. And as soon as I lean in, like the chair like pushes me back, and as I'm coming back, like she goes forward, and for like 3 or 4 times we're like, what? And I'm like, huh? And I'm like, what? And I'm like, huh? And we're like, what? And I'm like, that's not even, it like just keeps going, and it doesn't even look like it's a kiss at that point, but I'm fully committed, and she finally just grabs me. She just grabs me and stops and like locks eyes with me, right? Because she knows what's happening. And it's like that moment, like who's ever seen Star Trek, like OST, like original series? Like, yeah, when they get off the ship and they get in the shuttlecraft, and the shuttlecraft's got like a tractor beam, right? And it's like they don't know, they can't navigate because it's a shuttlecraft for some reason, but then they lock in and it's like, ugh. So I lock into her eyes and it was like, ugh. And we're both there and like, right? And she opens her mouth, which was freaking me out, right? And she opens her mouth and she's like, holy shit. And we're docking and we're done, right? And we're just like, it's like, and I'm satisfied with the docking until this thing comes out and it's like a tongue. And I'm like, wow, holy shit. And I was like, mwah. And then we go back to rocking a little bit. And she sits back and she's like, this is crazy. And I'm just like, wow, I've like graduated. And of course, there was no second date after that. But it solidifies, like every time I see a science fiction movie now, I'm automatically thinking like, yes, that's how you kiss a girl. Thank you.
That's it. That's our episode. We hope you're having a very Merry Christmas wherever you are. And if you're not, we hope that at least our show made you happy for a little while, because that's why we do it. It's only me, Frank, and my wife, Martina, behind the scenes here doing everything to keep you entertained and to laugh at the past with you, with all of us, to be able to say it's funny now. And we are really grateful to all of you who have stuck with us for the past 21 episodes. We couldn't do this without you, and we're going to continue doing it as long as you are there. And 2024 is going to be even better. As always, you can watch the video of these stories on our YouTube channel. It's Finding Out Storytelling, and it's going to be two separate videos on YouTube, not just one, so look for two videos. And you can find information about future shows and how to pitch your own story on our website. It's FindingOutStorytelling.com, where you can also find information to future shows, and you can always find a new episode every Monday on YouTube and all audio streaming platforms. On the next episode, the first one of 2024, we have the queen of storytelling herself, Margot Lightman.
I need you to know a few things. One, I didn't talk about this for 20 years. I buried it. I pushed it down. I went on as the fairy, and I was like, don't worry about it. You killed a man. It's fine. Just go on with your summer. Equity, equity. You're going to be an actor. And I mean, the theme, when he told me the theme of this show, I was like, oh, I know what I'm telling.
Thanks for listening. And remember, tragedy plus time. It's funny now. See you next year.